Okay, everyone, good morning. Let's get started. So this morning session is about transport in strange metals. There are four talks this morning, although one of them is not really about transport by Ivan Bosovich, but it's related, I'm sure, in some way. So I'm not going to introduce every talk in any talk, really. I'm going to take the liberty of the privilege given to me by the organizers to just make a few remarks about transport in strange metals. So we've been, many of us have been thinking about, theoretically anyway, strange metals for over 20 years, and there's been a lot of remarkable progress, some of which we've heard about in the past few days in this meeting. But the problem, theoretically, that's really the hardest to attack is transport. And of course, we're all familiar with the famous linear NT resistivity of the cuprates that really focused everybody's attentions on this problem. So also, although transport in some ways is the property that's most extensively investigated experimentally, as we'll hear in two talks today, theoretically, in some ways, we're still a long way of understanding this very central property of strange metals. So here I just want to make some provocative remarks about my thoughts on this problem. So one question we can ask in general, can I take a lattice model of interacting fermions, and let's assume I tune it to some critical point where the quasiparticles break down, or critical phase. Can such a phase give you linear resistivity down to some very low temperature? Many of these strange metal models are unstable to superconductivity, but let's imagine somehow we're able to control that. So, and in particular, can we do this without disorder? Can you take a model without disorder and get a linear NT resistivity? So, okay, so here's the line of reasoning that I want to present. So if there's breakdown of quasiparticles, then there have to be some singular collective modes that are leading to the breakdown of quasiparticles near the Fermi surface. And these singular collective modes in some frame of reference can always be written down as some long wavelength theory. So in the end, we can write down some continuum theory for just the low energy modes of the quasiparticles and some other collective degrees of freedom. And we saw many examples of this in this conference, Andrei Chubakov and Sung Sik Lee, for example. And so these theories can be written in the continuum. Now, even in theories where you think there's large momentum scattering, so suppose you had here's a model of a spin density wave transition in something with a band structure like the nictides. You would think that there's some collective mode at pi pi. So there's lots of processes with two electrons from here go over there, and therefore you have Umklapp scattering. So you would think this kind of theory should have a finite resistance. But really, in this theory and really every other theory that I know of for a critical point of metals, you can always relabel things. You can always shift things around so that things look long wavelength and continuum-like. In particular, I can just move this point over there, and then at the same time, my collective mode goes from pi pi to zero zero, and then I have a continuum field theory that I can show my field theorist friends, and okay, it's got some strange dispersions, but it's written completely in the continuum, and if you define it carefully, it's also ultraviolet finite. So this theory, my field theory friends will immediately tell me, has a conserved momentum. So in all known cases, then the continuum theory is a conserved momentum of some type. You have to look a little bit to see how you define it. But once you take the continuum limit, there is a conserved momentum. And this may be related to the underlying crystal momentum in some complicated way, but it's a quantity that commutes with the continuum Hamiltonian. So an immediate consequence of that, that as long as the cross-correlation of the electrical current and the momentum is zero, is non-zero, then the DC resistivity is exactly zero. So this is a special property of the DC resistivity and follows from, say, the memory function formalism or many other ways of thinking about it. The optical conductivity can do lots of interesting and singular things, which reflect the breakdown of quasiparticles and lots of interesting critical theories that you may have worked out. But the DC resistivity will have no signal of it. In fact, the DC resistivity would be zero. So the upshot is that to get any resistance at all, we have to include irrelevant correction, high energy corrections, additional processes that are not part of the critical theory, in particular processes that were not responsible for the breakdown of quasiparticles. So these are additional processes which are weak by definition, because if they were not weak, they would be part of the critical theory. So you have to include additional operators that are present due to the presence of the lattice, some kind of Umklapp corrections, to obtain any resistivity at all. And it's hard to imagine, in all the cases that we've looked at this kind of thing, they don't come close to giving you linear anti-resistivity. So that's really kind of the heart of the problem that any kind of lattice model, even when tuned to some special critical point, ultimately can't explain linear resistivity down to low temperatures. So then really the only route remaining, I believe, is to look at the effects of disorder. Now, there certainly is very comprehensive theory of interacting electrons and prints of disorder. In the 80s, there was a lot of studies on this. Finkelstein had developed this to the greatest extent. And this theory has basically two fates, it is generally believed. Either you flow to strong disorder and you get some kind of insulating or many-body localized phase, or you flow to weak disorder, which gets you get a disordered metal, which we understand extremely well. But that metal has quasiparticles. It's not a non-quasiparticle state. And so it's really not what we look for. So what I really think is needed in the theory to solve this long-standing problem is to find some intermediate disorder metallic fixed point with strong interactions so that the quasiparticles break down, but the disorder is not so strong that you localize. You have a metallic state without quasiparticle in the presence of disorder. The disorder is there, but eventually it self-averages at long distances. Okay, so that's what we need, I believe, and on the theory side. And I'll just mention a few progress in this direction. There are examples, not for Fermi surfaces, but for conformal field theory, which are strongly interacting systems of Dirac fermions in the presence of weak disorder. And there are a couple of posters on this that I encourage you to look at. I think Philip will talk about transporting graphene, which is also approximately Dirac fermion, where there is a pretty good breakdown of quasiparticles, where we just treat the disorder perturbatively. But in the strange metals, more serious strange metals, we will have to treat it much more seriously. In the context of holography, there are many examples of such things. There's some nice work by Hartnell et al. But you start with some conformal field theory with a holographic representation. You put in weak disorder and it flows to some intermediate disorder fixed point without quasiparticles. And there's another kind of massive gravity theories that I won't say much more about. And another class of these theories that I'll just mention to close my initial presentation are these so-called SYK models. And one very nice version of this is a recent collaboration by people over here, where you take this very simple-looking model. You have a bunch of quantum dots, if you wish, with a large number of orbitals on each dot. And there's some self-interaction U of the orbitals on the same dot, of the electrons on the same dot. And then there's some hopping of electrons between near and neighbor dots. Now, the basic model, which is solvable, is if you take the limit of the number of orbitals on each dot to be large, that's n, and you take all of these numbers, Tij and Uij, to be completely random. So everything is random. These are Gaussian random variables independent of each other. So you might worry that this might localize if it could give you some insulating phase, but it doesn't. It gives you an solvable example of an incoherent metal, which has some nice properties, including T-squared resistivity below some coherence scale, which is of order T-squared over U, and linear resistivity above that. So the solution of this is in the spirit of dynamical mean field theory, but it gives you a critical state over a wide range in a controllable way that you can understand various properties. Okay, so with that theoretical introduction, I will turn it over to our first speaker, to tell us about transporting graphene and many other topics too, I believe.